Welcome to the Court Report. I am Jerry Price, and I'm joined, as always, by Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And, Coach, welcome aboard.
I'm glad to be here.
So a lot's happened since we last talked. Your team has won three games in five days, and then you got two more coming up for a total of 5 and 8 days. And we'll get to all that in a minute. But first, I saw the Instagram and Twitter post that you guys went for ice cream after the game on Penn. Was that only if they won?
I had asked them after our long road trip to Harvard-Dartmouth when we had swept them. I said, if you guys want to stop and get a treat, it's a long trip. And so after the game, I was talking to some of the alums, and the captains came over and said, hey, coach, can we cash in? And of course, Addie, who's on my staff, a former player of mine, said, coach, you're getting soft. We never went to ice cream after a win. And I said, yeah, never in my 12 years have we stopped for ice cream. So truth be told, every year is really different, and they earned it. They earned it last night.
Did you get ice cream?
I did.
What do you get?
Chocolate ice cream with peanut butter or Snicker or some sort of gooey goodness in it.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
No crunchies, though?
No crunchies. Nope.
Okay. Let's talk about basketball then. So let's start with the weekend. So you swept Cornell and Columbia. Mm-hmm. Both nights sort of similar. Huge leads, 20-plus point leads that dwindled, and it really got to be a bit of a white knuckler both times. One, were you ever thinking that it was actually going to get away? And two, what was your thought coming out of the weekend? Was it just one of those things where it didn't matter because you won both, or were you concerned because of the way it happened?
You know, we knew that it was going to be we were coaching three games in 5 days, and so minute distribution was required, and I had to be disciplined to that. And so as much as you want to win every game, you had to win it. You didn't care about the score. And so I felt like if it got to four against Cornell, then I was going to go back with our horses, of course, which we did, and then got the ball right inside, and Bella put it away. And then against Columbia, we really did – we shot 0 for 11 from 3 in the second half and 15% from 2. And if you can win that game, there's a lot of good positives to take away. And I told them that, is that you stuck together and your defense was your riding. You rode through that, but you also kept shooting. You didn't get into your shells. So, yeah, we took a lot from the weekend into both Penn and this coming weekend.
So what are you thinking as a coach when you have, I think it was 24 was the biggest lead against Cornell, and then 18 against Columbia, and that game's over, right? And then all of a sudden it's 12, and then it's 8, and is 10 a big psychological barrier, or when do you start to, what are you thinking? Like, what is a coach thinking?
Well, against Cornell, Bella is such an advantage that I had taken her out to prepare her for what was coming down the road, and so to be honest, you just sort of know you have that, and so you know that that's good for a lot of impact on both ends. So you rest her as long as humanly possible. You're trying to let your depth learn to play through things a little bit, and you can't do that if you don't have someone like Bella that you could throw back in. And then against Columbia, we had no expectation that we would shoot so poorly in the second half. And if you had shown me the second half box score before the game, I would have assumed we would have lost no matter your lead to start start halftime. And so to be able to have our defense ride us, I knew that all we can do is keep taking the right shots. And as I said it every time out, the right guys are taking the right shots. Keep going. And then defense, fly around, get stops. And then you don't need to score in this game if you get stops.
But at some point, were you thinking, even if I bring Bella back in, the momentum is so gone, or not?
I think usually not with Bella. As you saw with Cornell, we were down four. I sub her in, and we went to a quick pin down, throw it to her. And when she went in, I said, we're going to throw it to you on a quick pin down on the right block, finish. And you that's going to happen.
So, because, one of the things I like talking to you about is the perspective that I have is mostly a fan versus the perspective of a coach. And from the point of view of me as a fan, there wasn't one second where I thought you guys were actually going to lose those games.
Yeah.
But as a coach, are you – and, I was kind of
keeping
in mind.
No, not those two. You're right. No, not those two. We were just trying to keep you fans engaged and excited.
So then the other thing is part of that looking ahead to Tuesday, which was obviously last night, but in the context of the weekend, are you saying, all right, so Penn's lingering out there. Bella had 10 points and 14 points. Mm-hmm. Those are two lowest scoring point totals of the year in any games. Is some of that, we got this – Tuesday's the one we need to get?
Yeah, and this coming weekend with Dartmouth-Harvard, it was kind of that 5 games in 9 days, and particularly the 3 and 5.
I thought it was 8 days, isn't it? Like Friday to Saturday?
It's Friday, Saturday, and then, yes, it might be 8. 9 sounds better. We need all the rest we can get right now. So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, truly it was for the weekend. We were just trying to get through it to get ready for kind of what are, you know, a lot of the heavy hitters coming up here.
So then you go into the game Tuesday night, and that's big because Penn goes into that game 1 game ahead of you.
Yeah.
Playing fairly well. Had mm-hmm. some, you know, they didn't have the close games that you had over the weekend. Playing at home. And knowing that a win gives them a 2-game lead with 4 to go. And trying to think, did you ever trail in that game? If you did, it was 3-2.
That's it.
Like
yeah,
that.
They scored it was 2-0.
2-0.
That was it.
You know, sort of the game followed a pretty familiar pattern for each quarter where you would get a lead, they'd come back. And then you start the next one and build a bigger lead, and they'd come back. Mm-hmm. And then you build a bigger lead, and eventually they just never came back. Final mm-hmm. score 68-53. Very complete effort. A lot of really positive signs about that. And maybe the most positive is it's a team that needed to win, knew it needed to win, and put in the effort to win.
That was it. I mean, I felt, we said before the game, a better me will make us a better we. Because in the first game, nobody played well enough. Even Bella at 22 and 17 didn't play well enough. And we talked about how we were going to earn it and the refs was going to take care of itself. And the defensive lock-in in terms of personnel and action was on point the entire game. Offensively, we did the big things, which are like bounce passing and attacking from the baseline and things that, you know, not letting Penn shrink the court. And yeah, so it was a complete lock-in, and we're much better when we play hard.
I'm guessing your two favorite possessions of the night were the back-to-back shot clock violations that your team forced to start the fourth quarter.
Well, especially because we had 8, you know, I was kind of in joking, but when we give up 8 O boards in the third quarter. And so the only way we could ensure they don't get the rebound is that they get a shot clock violation. So we just were like, well, we got to lock them up for the whole 30 seconds. And the fact that we did that was pretty awesome.
And Gabrielle Rush had a good start to the game. Carly Littlefield had a good game. They both played well. They both put up good numbers, mm-hmm. 14 for Carly, 13 for Gabrielle Rush. They both had rebounds and assists and all that other stuff. 38 mm-hmm. minutes for Carly, 39 for Gabrielle.
And we do the plus minus, and Sydney Jordan actually had the highest plus minus. I mean, she was really efficient as well.
But the story was Bella.
Yeah, and, heavyweight.
You know, coming back from 10 points and 14 points. And really, I you know, the first maybe 2 or 3 minutes of the game, she looked a little it was clear that Penn's goal was to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you looked up and there was one possession where I looked up and I was like, she's about to put up big numbers. And mm-hmm. she ends up with 33 points,
mm-hmm.
10 boards. 13 for 21 from the field, so it's not like she took 40 shots to mm-hmm. get 30 points. Just a very big-time performance in a game where Penn, if any team in the league matches up with her, it's Penn. And,
for sure.
You know, she did a great job in that one.
Yeah, you needed it on both ends, too. I mean, sometimes you can put her on the other team's less efficient post, but not against Penn because of how dominant Aaliyah Parker can be. And so Bella has to guard the other team's kind of big go-to and then play the way she was. And, you know, they take away, you know, I told them before the game, too, that Penn's like us. We're kind of big bullies. And in terms of late in the clock, you kind of always have your ace in the hole, which is a dominant inside threat that you can throw it to. And against Penn, you know, they're going to try to do it, and so are we. And so we have to be willing to be more versatile. And Bella went to her mid-range game, and it, you know, she showed well.
One thing I noticed about their game last night is so many of the baskets that Bella scored were assisted baskets.
Mm.
And I just thought back to, like, something Pete Carrillo always said, which is that, you know, one of the most underrated skills is catching the ball.
Mm.
And she doesn't drop the ball.
Mm-mm. Stays high. You're right. She has two things that are really – I always say I get no credit for a few things with her. One is that she has incredible touch. So she keeps the ball high, and she's got incredible touch from 15 feet. And the second is she's really able to absorb and understand doubles and triples and get the ball out at the right time and at the right place. Those are two things that are really hard to coach, and I don't have to coach it because she's got it.
So now your team is tied with Penn. You're both 8-2, Harvard 7-3, mm-hmm. and then Yale and Dartmouth 5-5 each. Your team, you asked me to tell you when you clinched
yeah,
the spot.
Yeah, come on.
You
have not you're the math
clinched,
guy.
You have not yet clinched
Jeez,
the spot.
Come on, I just want to play in the dance here.
You, even if you lost last night, so going into the game last night, win or lose, you could not have clinched the spot. But regardless of that outcome, a win Friday against Dartmouth does clinch a spot.
Okay,
and
good.
And you could, so Dartmouth and Yale still have to play each other. No, they're done. No, right. So, but if you win Friday night, then you have 9 wins, and
okay.
then
yep,
Dartmouth will have 6 losses,
yep.
and then only 4 teams.
And we only
can
have
get
3
to,
games left. Yep,
right.
We're good. All right.
So Dartmouth, you win Friday night, you're in the Ivy League tournament. A few things about the Ivy League tournament and the weekend coming up, but let's start with the Ivy League tournament in general, the announcement that the Ivy League made today of the future site. So it extends it all the way out to 2025, I believe. Each campus is going to get it. It'll be Harvard next year, Yale this year, Harvard next year, Princeton the year after that, and then down the line. What are your thoughts on the campus sites and the Ivy League announcement? And looking forward to having the tournament here, I presume, in 2 years.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think if you're going to have an Ivy tournament on anyone's campus, you got to have them on them all, right? Because it's just, you know, if home court, I've always said this, if home court's not an advantage, then why? And back before there was a tournament, I played in and coached in a playoff game. And it was always at Yale because it affected, you know, the teams. You had to be a neutral site.
Harvard-Dartmouth was always at Yale?
Harvard-Dartmouth was at Yale, and also there was one triple one, Harvard-Princeton, and same thing. So it was Brown. I've also done it with Brown at Yale. I mean, it's just been something that – so the neutral site, I think, if you're not going to go neutral, you got to share it. So I think that's good. And then people are going to have opinions about which gyms are better based on either size or whether it's a shooting gym or whether it's in a cooler city to visit or – whatnot, but I think the uniqueness of all these Ivy campuses are neat that they'll be on display. Obviously, it's going to be easier to get to some than others, so that will affect their fan base. But that's the nature of location. So I'm glad we're hosting, and I'm glad that you know Boston's a fun city, that it's there next year, and it's you know Harvard's graduating a bit, so it's good that it's not this year.
So as we look ahead to this year, then the tournament at Yale, two things. One is. The regular season champion is still the Ivy League champion no matter what. Mm-hmm. The Ivy League tournament champion is just the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, which is a huge prize. And, you know, honestly, when that team gets to the NCAA tournament, if it's not the team that won the championship, they're still going to, TV, everybody's still going to refer to them as the Ivy League champion, not the Ivy League tournament champion, and the regular season champion was so-and-so. So, one, I know you're a big fan of playing hard for the championship, and that's essentially a three-team race. Now, with UPenn, and Harvard, you host Harvard and Dartmouth this weekend. Dartmouth here on Friday, Harvard at Penn on Friday, and then switched on Saturday. So that means that your game Saturday night then becomes the fifth game in 8 days, and that's the Harvard game. Where are you going into the weekend knowing how much basketball your team has played in a short amount of time?
Yeah.
Back to January where you didn't do anything.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of film, and we've been behind in the Ivy. We haven't been in first place in the Ivy League since last March. So glad to be back where we hope to be. But, you know, we're doing a lot of film right now. We're doing a lot of recovery stuff. You know, it's just we didn't even shoot around on Tuesday because it was, you know, the more rest, the better for these bodies right now. But it's big because obviously someone's going to lose that game against Penn. Harvard, you know, one of those two is going to lose it. And then, and we've just kind of said all along, we've got to take care of ourselves. You know, we just got to take care of ourselves and win one at a time. And so we're going to try to do that, but I don't have to save as much because it's going to feel like a big break next week with not that Tuesday game.
So when you know that you had that game on Tuesday night mixed in, not only does that put an extra game in, but it also disrupts your practice routine a bit. Mm-hmm. But presumably next week, you'll still practice on. Do you still practice on Tuesday or
no?
Okay, so
we're always off Tuesdays.
All right, so then that's one less day of practice. Because I would say, like, how much of a big deal is it to actually play another game versus practice another time?
Yeah,
in terms of fitness and.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. I mean it's a grind. You know, Bella, Carly, Rush, Sid. I mean they're certainly not going out for a jog today. You know, their bodies they're spending a lot of time in the training room right now. So it's a grind. It's not going to happen next year because you get to choose your own Ivy League home game against your travel partner. So this was Penn's choice to play on this Tuesday. We will not be doing that, and we'll be the second time next year. So we're not going to do this Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday.
And then things can change radically the year after that because the academic calendar changes.
Yeah, and that will be interesting how that all sorts out too.
So going into the weekend with Dartmouth and Harvard, you swept them up there. Harvard,
two tough matches.
Yeah, Harvard playing well. Can't look past Dartmouth.
No.
You know, what are your general thoughts about those opponents?
Very different. I mean, Dartmouth is feisty. They can really shoot it. They are playing for something. They're playing for the Ivy tournament, and that's a big deal. And they lost their leading scorer and their kind of four-year kind of floor general in their point guard who went to Blair here in New Jersey. So they're playing really well without her because they know that this is kind of they're fighting for. And so they're certainly not an easy out by any stretch. And then you've got Harvard who's got lots of play floor. If they beat Penn Friday night, then they're playing us for the
Ivy
title.
Harvard sweeps, yeah. I mean, Harvard knows coming down here that if they sweep at the end of the weekend, they're in first place.
Exactly. So they're playing for a lot, and they're a really good team, and they're senior dominated. They've got a bunch of three and four year starters in their starting lineup. So they're very experienced and two tough teams. And, you know, I guess this is kind of how it goes.
Well, we have the game Friday. I looked this up. The game Friday night is 6 o'clock. The game Saturday is 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's Dartmouth Friday. It's Harvard Saturday. And it's the culmination of five games in either 8 or 9 days, however you want to do the math.
And it's senior weekend. It's the last home weekend.
Which
last
is unbelievable,
time to see
right?
The
Tigers. Yeah, it's.
It is. I mean, it's the last time to see us play in this gym.
It's going to be March. You know, it's going to be. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff happens in college basketball in March. So.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week to talk about those two games, see where your team is, understanding that a win this weekend puts you into the Ivy tournament, which is one of your goals. Your other goal is to win the league. Obviously, a sweep would be important towards that, mm-hmm. but we'll see how it all plays out when we come back next week and talk some more.
That sounds awesome.
So for Princeton Women's Basketball Coach Courtney Bankhart, I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you for being with us on the Court Report each week, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Basketball.